You know, the Bible says that they have a party in heaven every time one person steps across the line. And God always takes initiative. Look at this verse on the screen. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. We throw open our doors to God and we discover that at the same moment that he's already thrown open his door to us. He paid for your sins before you were born. That's how much he took the initiative.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How Much You Matter to God.
You are your own biggest problem. It always will be your biggest problem. Your own fears, your own anxieties, your own misconceptions, the stuff you believe about God, about you, about life, about others. You are your own biggest problem. And a lot of times we need a Savior to save us from ourselves, to rescue us. 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. Nobody else can bring you to God. Did you see that? Jesus is the only one who can bring us to God. He became a human being. He was God, became a human being, and gave himself to rescue all of us. Circle the word rescue. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, well, you know, Rick, I don't really need to be rescued from anything. Oh, really? You have no pain in your life. Zero pain. No pain in your life, huh? Okay. You have no problems in your life, right? No problems. No. You have no pressure in your life. Your life is at total peace. You have no worries, you have no fears, you have no anxiety, you have no guilt, you have no regret, you have no resentment, you have no conflict. Oh, no, you don't need any rescuing from anything except you're out of touch with reality. And you do need help from that, okay? Because you have problems that you can't solve. If you could have, you would have, but you can't, so you don't. And there are things in you that you don't like about you and you'd like to change, but you can't. You need to be rescued. And that's one facet of salvation. Jesus came to rescue all of us. Now, some of the problems you have in your life, you say, but Rick, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Some problems will never be solved by trying. They're only solved by trusting. They're not solved by trying. You trying harder. They're solved by you trusting God to do what he can do that you can't do in ways that you don't have and in manners and methods that you don't even have access to. Salvation rescues me from myself. You got to trust, not try. Psalm 50, verse 15. Trust me, God says, in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you. There's that word again. I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. He will set you free. So like a shepherd going after the sheep who takes initiative, salvation rescues me from myself. That sheep needs to be saved from itself. It just doesn't know enough how to get back to the pen on its own. Shepherd's got to get out there and say, come on, little lambie. We're going back this way. And point him back in the right way. Now, how about the second story, the woman who finds her lost coin? Salvation, number two, not only rescues me from myself, it recovers my potential. When you are saved, when you move from category A, lost, to category B, saved, all of a sudden, you get your potential back. That God-given potential that's been being wasted like the coin that was lost that can't do any good while it's lost. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and worn out. That may be you. Come to me, all you who are weary and worn out from caring too much. Learn to trust, there it is again, and rest in me, and you'll recover, circle that word, you'll recover your life. Question, What have you lost that you'd like to recover? What have you lost that you'd like to recover? Like the woman who lost a coin, you say, well, I've lost my strength. I'd like to get it back. I've lost my joy. I'd like to get it back. I've lost my dream. I've lost my hope. I've lost my innocence. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my confidence. I could go on with 100 or 200 other things. Jesus came not only to rescue us from ourselves, but to recover what we've lost. And what is that we've lost? We've lost our potential. The potential that we have when we're connected to God. You know, as a boy, I was a coin collector. So let me make a couple observations about coins. When a coin gets lost, it doesn't know it's lost. It doesn't know. It could be hid under the sofa for the next 30 years, and it doesn't know enough to know that it's lost. It's oblivious to the fact that it needs recovering. It needs recovery. Well, I don't even know that I needed recovery. Coin doesn't know it's lost. And number two, a coin is helpless to do anything about it. That coin that's lost, that fell off on the ground, can't jump back up on the table. Somebody bigger than it has to pick it up and put it back in the proper place. Now, both of those things are true of human beings. We can't save ourselves, and half the time we don't even know that we need to be saved. We don't even know that we need recovery. But everybody needs recovery, and everybody needs rescuing, and everybody needs salvation. So I can't save myself, but God can, because he can do anything. That's when John Newton wrote, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. What is amazing grace? It's mercy. It's the mercy of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
The Bible tells us that God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry financially, we'll send you The Miracle of Mercy 6-Session DVD Study Kit by Rick Warren. Perfect for you or your small group. It's sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or click PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Joel chapter 2, verse 25 is one of the great promises of the Bible. If you've lost something that needs to be recovered, God says, I will give you back what you have lost in the years when the locusts have eaten or ate all your crops. Now, you're not a farmer, so you're not planting your crops. Well, let me ask you this. What's eating your lunch? What's eating you up? And when a swarm of locusts come in and start eating away at your profitability, start eating away at your confidence, start eating away at your beauty, start eating away at your plans, your dreams, your hopes. Who's going to restore that? There's only one person who can. You can't. I can't. But God can. And that's part of salvation. I will give you back what you lost in the years when the locusts ate all your crops. Some of you saying, you know what? I've been lost for so many years. It's a little late for me. It's not too late. I will give you back the years that were lost. I will make the next years count more than all the ones previously. Like the woman who finds her lost coin, salvation helps me recover my potential. And then the third story, the one about the lost son. What does that teach us about salvation? It teaches this: salvation reconnects me to God. Remember, the father in the story is a representation of God. The loving father is a representative of your heavenly father. Salvation reconnects me to God. And the Bible word for this is the word reconciliation. When a husband and wife end their conflict, that's called reconciliation. When two nations end their conflict, that's called reconciling or reconciliation. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, 17 and 18. Anyone who connects to Christ becomes a new person. That's rescued, recovered, and reconnected. Becomes a new person. The past is forgotten. I like that. And everything becomes new. I like that even better. God has done it all. He's the Savior. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. That's the reconnecting. That's the reconciling. That's the tearing down the barrier between you and God. You say, well, I pray, I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Well, they may be if you haven't been saved, if you haven't been reconciled to God, if you haven't been had that reconnection made. He sent Christ to make peace between these two warring things. You've been at war with God because you've been acting like you're God. And when you surrender and say, God, you're God and I'm not, then Jesus Christ makes peace between us and himself. What did it take for Jesus to do that? Just coming to earth, dying on the cross, going through all that torture, all of that pain. And that shows how much you matter to God. That's the kind of love that God has for you. That his wounds on the cross would pay for your rescue, for your ransom, for your recovery, and for your reconnection to God. Okay, real quick. How do I connect to God's mercy? How do I do that? Here's the answer. You do the same three things that the young son says in the last does in the last story. This young rebel who blew half the family inheritance and then comes home with his tail between his legs and going, Dad, just make me a servant. You do the same three things that this guy did. And the Bible tells us in this story in Luke chapter 15. Here they are. Number one, you want to be saved? Listen, you want to be saved? Here are the three things you must do. Number one, get fed up with my life. That's the starting point. You've got to get fed up with your life. Nothing happens until you become discontent with the way things are right now. And at some point, you got to go, okay, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I don't like the way I've been living. There's got to be a better way to live than living with all this pressure, this stress, this fatigue, this drifting. God, you got to help me. This is not what I want with my life. I'm not going to put up with anymore. I'm tired. I'm tired of the pressure. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the stress. I'm tired of the disappointments I've had in life. I'm tired of the busyness. You say, God, I'm fed up. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of my failures. I'm tired of my frustrations. I don't like how I'm living. In fact, the truth is, I don't even like who I am. And I don't like what I'm becoming. Until something like that happens in your life, you're not going to be saved. You got to get fed up with the way you've been living. I am fed up with being disconnected from God. I am fed up with being distant from my Heavenly Father who loves me, created me, and has given me everything good in my life. You got to get hungry. You got to get thirsty. You got to be desperate for a change. You got to sometimes be in the pigsty, go, I'm going home. I know it's embarrassing and I've really blown it, but I'm going home to my Heavenly Father. The Bible says this in Luke 15, in verse 13 down to verse 17. Here's some of the things it says about him. He wasted it all. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry. And then he finally came to his senses. Now, this is where transformation starts. I refuse to live the way I've been living one more minute. Jeremiah 29, 13, God says this, you'll find me. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, not some casual churchianity. No, you're serious. I want it more than anything else. You see, the reason why most people never get connected to God, why most people live lost lives, because they're happy to live without God. They're happy to live without God. And they think, yeah, this is not that bad. You know, it's okay, But let me explain it to you. Let me try to think of an illustration or metaphor. It's kind of like if you were living an oxygen-deprived life. Let's say you had COPD or emphysema, and you can't breathe enough to really get your body full of oxygen. And you got enough oxygen to just keep you alive. You're surviving, but you get winded on stairs, and you sure don't have enough oxygen to be brilliant, to be creative, to be innovative, to be energetic. You don't have enough oxygen to feel good. You don't have enough oxygen to live life to the fullest. You're living in an oxygen-deprived environment where it's like, I'm barely getting by. I'm surviving. I'm alive, but that's it. Getting saved turns the full oxygen on in your life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life to its fullest. Let me give you another metaphor. It's as if Satan had taken your head and shoved it under the bathroom water. And you can't breathe underwater. And you're holding your breath, and he's got a helm down there, and he's holding it down, and he's holding it down. And Satan's going to hold your head under that water until you start fighting. And you go, no, I got to breathe. And then every ounce in your body says, enough's enough. You're not going to hold me under the water anymore, Satan. I'm going to breathe. I want real life. I want the life I was meant to live. I want to be connected to the Father who loves me. I want to be connected to the God who knows my potential. You want to destroy me. He wants me to live to my fullest. And I'm not going to take any more. And I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I get fed up with my own life. After you get fed up, here's the second thing you do. You own up. I own up to my sin. And I just admit it. God, I have made a mess. I've blown it. I've sinned. I've done what I wanted to do, not what you wanted me to do. I've followed my way, not your way. You be honest about your feelings. You have the courage to face the truth about you. That's scary. You will know the truth will set you free, but first it makes you miserable. So you admit the truth, and then the freedom comes out of that. I own up to my sin. The Bible says in Luke 15, verse 17, 18, this young man, he came to his senses, and then he said, I have sinned against God and you. That's called a confession. Now circle the word senses. When he came to his senses. You see, you say, you know, the way I've been living has not made sense. The way I've been living has been irrational. The way I have been living has been illogical. Disconnected from the God who made me and loves me, what's that all about? Thinking that I know more than God, what's the logic of that? I'm just going to come to my senses. I've got to have a moment of clarity. You will never be saved until you have a moment of clarity where first, you get fed up, and then second, you own up. I'm not God. I've tried to be God. I've tried to do my own thing. I've wanted to be God. But you have a moment of clarity. As I say, I came to my senses. To stay distant from God is insane. It doesn't make sense. It's not smart. It's unsustainable. I get fed up, and I own up, and then the third thing I do, and this is what he did, is I offer up. I offer up myself to God. I want you to notice the change in the attitude from the thing that the young man said when he left his father to go to Vegas or wherever he went, and what the thing that he said when he came back to his father years later in a much more humbler attitude. In verse 12, Luke 15, the son left home, he drifted away, he left in rebellion, saying this, give me my share. Notice he says, give me. It's all about me. Give me, give me, give me. It's all about me. I don't care about you, Dad. I don't care about our family. Give me. It's all about me. It's so very self-centered. Now, years later, when he comes back, here's what he says. He returned to the father, verse 19, saying, make me a servant. A little bit of different attitude. He leaves saying, give me. He returns saying, make me. That, friends, is salvation. It's turning from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Self-centered. Give me everything I deserve in life. Make me whatever you want me to be. That's salvation. If you haven't said that, you're not saved. You're not. You're still lost. You're still over in that category. You're valuable. You're valuable. So valuable that Jesus Christ died for you, but you're lost. You got to move from give me, it's all about me, to make me. God, whatever you want to do with my life, make me your servant. That's a heart transformation from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Now, I want you to notice the Father's response. In verse 23 and 24, it says, filled with anger and frustration. Now, it doesn't say that. Filled with what? Love and compassion. You come to God after all those years that you've messed up. God's going to be filled with love and compassion. The Father ran out to his son. He didn't even wait for him to call all the way back home. Come all the way back. He runs out to meet him. This guy probably hasn't had a bath in a year. He's been living with pigs. He is very odoriferous. He stinks. He's dirty. He's smelly. He's got pig slop on him. The Father doesn't wait till he gets cleaned up. He runs out to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And then he says, bring the best. And he says, bring the best robe, put him on him. Bring the best signet ring, the family ring, which is the signet ring was what you would put into wax. And then that was your family signet, which says, I'm good for this bill. It was the credit card of that day. So what he's saying is, bring out the best ring. He's saying, give the guy the Black American Express card. This is the guy who just blew half the family inheritance. That's mercy. And he says, and find the best beef that we got on the ranch out here. We're having a barbecue. We're having a party. My son who was lost has been found. He's been saved. And that's what they did. Do you know the Bible says that they have a party in heaven every time one person steps across the line? And God always takes initiative. Look at this verse on the screen. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Love it, the Message paraphrase. We throw open our doors to God, and we discover that at the same moment that he's already thrown open his door to us. He already took the initiative. He took it 2,000 years ago when he came and died for you. He paid for your sins before you were born. That's how much he took the initiative. Last verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. There's only 2 days left to get this great Bible study tool, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Today, I want to talk to you about something that will supercharge your spiritual growth. It's called a small group. Let me encourage you to get involved with a small group of friends that meets weekly. Nobody has a complete perspective on life. That's why we need each other. Every one of us has blinders on. If you get into a small group, the people in your group can help you see things in your life that you can't see. We encourage each other. We hold each other accountable. We pray for each other. We love each other. I want you to know that in the difficult times I've gone through in my life, I wouldn't have made it through those times without my small group. So get in a small group and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.